conservative on the state rehab council. Nope. So I see him about maybe 3 months or so. And I'm not sure if he wants to see me today, but that's okay. We are happy to have you here. I'm mistaken. Let me backtrack. I'm gonna bring up Ron. Yeah. Let's bring up Ron. Too many changes.
Aloha e kama mai. Good morning, everybody. Do I need to introduce the next speaker? You all heard what's been said, so there's one thing that they missed to mention about the next speaker. So he is currently employed with United Airlines as an accessibility analyst. Good thing they didn't get him as a pilot. Okay, without further ado, I'd like to call on our next speaker, the Secretary of the American Council of the Blind, Mr. Ray Campbell. Yay! Aloha, HAB!
Aloha!
Right. I am very, very honored. Thank you so much for that resolution and that very warm introduction. I'm very honored to be here today and to speak with you. And just check my watch here to see. Okay, I've got about 28 minutes, so I've got to cram up. It's like cramming 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag. I have a lot to share with you this morning. I'm going to digress real quick before I get into the ACB piece of this, because after hearing the wonderful speaker from Handyman this morning, I've just got two words for you guys. Get involved with your transportation. I will share with you, and I'm going to be putting her in contact with the people that were involved with this back home. Because of the work of a lot of people, including advocates, government officials and stuff, in our area, DuPage County, Illinois, 25 miles west of downtown Chicago, we have a paratransit service that runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, beyond the ADA limitations. So I think that, get involved, do what you can to help these guys, because transportation is the bane of our existence, and we need to do everything we can to have better transportation. Okay.
Block the traffic.
Yeah, we can't do that. I'll tell you what, I come from Chicago. I thought we... By the way, it is not true. Don't let London fool you. It is not true that we brought the wind with us. Even though we did come from the Windy City, it is not true that we brought the wind with us. I am very privileged to have my wife Karen up here next to me. She is going to be speaking as part of this presentation as well. Just talking a little bit about something that she's involved with that I think will be good. I bring you greetings and alohas from our national president, Kim Charlson, and from our executive director, Eric Bridges, from the office staffs, both in Arlington, now Alexandria, Virginia, I'll screw that up, and Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Our office just moved recently, nationally, from Arlington to Alexandria. And I also bring you greetings from the entire board of directors as well, on which I'm honored to serve. Number of things I want to talk to you about. Now, what I tend to do with these ACB reports is I tend to make them kind of interactive. So I'm going to be asking questions so you don't, it won't all put you to sleep out there. I know Philo is not going to go to sleep out there. And by the way, Philo, Karen and I are so happy to see you with the folks today and be able to be here today. We're very, very pleased about that. And our best to you and our prayers and thoughts as you move through your journey. And prayers and thoughts to Londa as well. She's going to be undergoing some things as well. By the way, Londa ought to be a tour coordinator. Boy, this woman, you ask her to do anything, she can get it done. Anyway, recently, just a couple of weeks ago, we completed our mid-year meetings for ACB in Washington, D.C., President's Meeting Legislative Seminar. This year we had four legislative imperatives. Who can name one of the imperatives that we had this year? Anybody, shout it out. That's Cogswell Macy Act, H.R. 3535. And that bill has been reintroduced into Congress. It was introduced in the last Congress as well. We're currently in the 114th session of Congress. It's currently a House bill. That bill will do a number of things. It will provide some more accountability to make sure that kids who are blind or visually impaired are getting the specialized services that they need in education, such as Braille, technology instruction, orientation, mobility, those sorts of things. It's named the Cogswell-Macy Act because, of course, the second piece of that is named for Ann Sullivan Macy, Helen Keller's extraordinary teacher. But Alice Cogswell is the first girl to be educated in a school for the deaf. And so we're teaming up with the deaf and hard of hearing community on this, and it also provides a lot of good things for deafblind, including this is a chance, I think, federally to get intervener services funded, which are services that interveners are people who work with kids, they know these kids, they communicate visual and auditory information about the environment. Have I got that right? Okay. Karen maybe can explain that a little bit better than I can, so we can get that as a covered service in the educational system. So that's Cogswell Macy. How can somebody name a second imperative, and not Donna? I want somebody else to do it. Okay. The Medicare Coverage for Low Vision Devices Act, H.R. 729. That bill is going to set up a nationwide demonstration project for Medicare coverage of low vision devices. It really does two things. Number one, it helps identify how many people can benefit from Medicare coverage, but what it also does of low vision devices, and these are typically devices that cost over $500, but it also would help us assess what the fiscal impact is going to be, because we're all certainly very concerned about the solvency of Medicare going forward, and we need to make sure that we protect that as well. By the way, I'm going to run through a few things here. I would appreciate if we could hold questions. I'll leave about 5 minutes or so for questions at the end. So if we could hold those, that would help out. The third imperative this year was the Marrakesh Treaty, which I would think really hits home over here, because what it's going to do is end the book famine, hopefully end the book famine that exists around the world. Right now, our Library of Congress does great work, for example. We can't share copyrighted materials produced in specialized formats with folks in other parts of the world. And so Marrakesh is going to hopefully, once it gets ratified, we've had 15 countries ratify. The U.S. is not one of them. However, a ratification package has been submitted to the United States Senate. This normally treaties don't have, there's nothing much to do with treaties in the House. However, there will have to be legislation submitted to, which will be heard by the Judiciary Committees in both the House and Senate. And of course, the treaty will go through the Foreign Relations Committee. And that is going to, because there's some changes in copyright law in the United States that have to be made to accommodate the Marrakesh Treaty. So what we want there is we want a clean ratification package of the Marrakesh Treaty. And the fourth one, how many of you believe that it is high time for justice to release rules telling how Title III affects accessibility to the internet?
Yeah!
It is damn well past time, thank you very much. And this is our fourth imperative. And ACB and actually NFB too, we're very unhappy that even though our illustrious President Barack Obama in 2010 said that accessibility was the most important disability rights issue, I guess it's so important we don't get rules to 2018. Baloney! One of the other imperatives is that we have stepped up and said, look, we're trying to, through members of Congress, put pressure on the Department of Justice and the Office of Management and Budget, which is part of the White House, to clear the way for notice of proposed rulemaking to be released to help everybody really truly understand how much Title III of the Americans with Disabilities Act requires that internet content be made accessible to people with disabilities, and it would follow web content accessibility guidelines level 2 AA, which is the kind of the standard out there. That's the standard that the airlines are having to meet regarding Department of Transportation Air Carrier Access Act mandates. So that is the fourth imperative. There was a letter circulated that 9 Democrats signed on to, including, I don't believe anybody from Hawaii did. Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts penned that letter. There were 8 other Democratic senators that signed on. As a Republican, I'm ashamed to admit no Republicans signed on. I'm very unhappy about that, but hopefully we're going to get... we were working hard on Capitol Hill. Hopefully we'll get some Republican support of that. Oh, gosh, no. we have enough time for that. It'll be over a beer later to talk about that one. But anyway, so that's our fourth imperative. Our own state senator, Richard Durbin, did sign on to that letter. As I say, I do not believe anybody from Hawaii did. By the way, I'm learning how to say it, Hawaii. Anyways, I'm getting there. So those are our four imperatives that we talked about this year. I am aware we've gotten a few additional co-sponsors on HR 729. I do not know what the current number of co-sponsors is. I didn't have a chance to reach out to Tony Stevens, our new Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, who did a great job, by the way, on his first legislative seminar. I hope many of you had a chance to hear that streamed over ACB radio. He did a great job on that, and so those are the four imperatives of things that are moving forward. It's not all that's been going on at ACB. How many of you believe that prescription information needs to be accessible to people who are blind or visually impaired, just like it is to everybody else?
Yeah!
Well, of course, we at ACB believe that too, and are basically recently, an agreement was settled for structured negotiations with CVS Rite Aid, I believe it is, and that means right. that you can now get prescription devices to help you know how to take your prescriptions in store at the CVS pharmacies. I believe they're using you can get the Script Talk or you can get the Talking Pillar Minder, which Walgreens has. Also, of course, Walgreens has been doing accessible prescriptions now for a couple of years, and that's been great. My wife benefits from that, and so do I. And so we have that going on. So the one thing that I think we're a little disappointed in ACB is that we got some language into the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration legislation a couple of years ago, dealing with putting together some best practices around prescription accessibility. That work was done. However, the National Council on Disability, I think, dropped the ball a little bit on making sure that to encourage the use of the best practices. Okay, just checking my time, make sure we're in good shape. For next thing I want to talk about, to turn away from politics just a little bit. We've got a convention coming up, don't we?
Yeah.
July 1st through 9th in Minnesota. And I am, congratulations on getting that grant through the Hawaii Alliance Foundation. I'm a lion too. Roar! We're very happy about that to bring some students. However, and you still have time for this, that is not the only way that you can get folks to convention this year. Many of you have heard of the DKM First Timer Program, correct? Yeah. Kay McDaniel, First Timer? Well, that program is actually being expanded a little bit this year thanks to a very generous grant that ACB got from JP Morgan Chase. Oh. We're going to be able to bring 10 people this year to the convention. And Alan Casey put out an article recently in the ACB Braille Forum about that. And not only the two Dorward came at Daniel first timers, but eight additional folks who are or budding leaders in our affiliates. So,
what'd you say?
Leadership fellows, that's what it's called. And so what I would encourage you to do, if you know of folks, whether they've been to a convention or not, encourage them to submit an application and to get the affiliate president to help as well in supporting that application to get some new folks up to convention. It's going to be the same for whether you're on the regular DKM first-timer or a leadership fellow. You're going to get, the person's going to get all expenses paid, trip to the convention. One of the things we are going to require, there are some things that are going to be required of these people. One of them is going to be, especially for the leadership fellows, that they attend the Leadership Training Institute, which is going to take place on Saturday, July 2nd from 2:45 to 5:30 during convention. That's how we're doing our Leadership Institute. We've been doing them every couple of years at National. That is one thing, another program, another way that you can consult the Rail Forum or the leadership list to get information about how to submit those applications. I think it's a very great program, and it's going to bring more and more people to convention this year. And I think that's just wonderful. Moving on to fundraising opportunities, and before I get into some of these, a big thank you for the number of years the Hawaii Association has been so supportive of ACB, supporting such things as ACB Radio, the ACB Rail Forum, and others. Glad to see that you are contributing your money to ACB, as well as helping folks here in Hawaii the way you do. I want to thank you for that. I've got a couple of fundraisers coming up. Of course, the ACB Walk this year is going to be on Sunday, July 3rd during convention. It's going to take place. There's a skywalk system around the hotel area in Minneapolis, and they're going to be using some of the skywalk for that, the walk. We've also got the Braille Forum drawing this year. The tickets are out. They are $50 each. I have six of them with me, so if anyone would like to purchase one of those, you can do so, and I will make sure that it gets to the right place. And the third thing I wanted to mention also, because this is a great fundraiser for not only the ACB National, but your affiliate as well, and that is the Monthly Monetary Support, or MMS, program. It's now chaired by Mike Godino. If you are entered into the, if you are currently an MMS participant and you increase your contribution by at least $5 a month, or if you're a new MMS participant, you'll be able to get entered into a drawing for some very nice prizes. I'm trying to remember, they have a big prize that there's some big prizes are given away. I don't remember all of them, but there'll be information out on that as well. So definitely something to consider. And by the way, with MMS, you can designate up to 50% of your contributions to come back to your affiliate, Hawaii Association, or whoever, if you're part of a special interest affiliate. I'm sure that President Philo and others would prefer that you do it to Hawaii, but you can certainly do what you want. Before I take questions, it's kind of in a nutshell what's going on. Before I take questions, I'm going to ask Karen to talk just a couple minutes, because we often hear of this committee called the SASE, or Sight and Sound Impaired Committee, but a lot of people, I don't know if people really know what that committee does. So I thought I'd give her an opportunity to take a couple of minutes just to talk about what that committee does, and then we'll open it up for some questions. So Karen, here's your microphone. Get down to your height there.
Thank you very much. I won't take too much time. Basically, the SASE committee, or Sight and Sound Impaired Committee, we deal with issues related to people who are deafblind or have a combined vision hearing issue. Because, as many of you may or may not know, this community is very diverse. It ranges from people who have low vision and usable hearing up to people who have no hearing, no vision. and anything in between. And some of these people may have other disabilities in addition to the dual sensory. So we deal with issues along those lines. Some of the programs that we've done in the last couple of years are programs on the I Can Connect program, which is the equipment distribution program for low-income deaf blind. Your vice president, Art, is a trainer for that program.
Thanks,
Art. And Lisa, you've got somebody in the islands now that can do it. That's a good thing. And we've done other various types of programs. One on support service providers, that's been a little further back. Let's see, we did one on communications and being sassy in social situations. That was our program last year. This year, things are coming together for our program, and it looks like it's going to be somebody who has taken that journey throughout her life and has written a book, which is available on Bookshare. More to come on that when we have absolutely everything buttoned up. And we're nailing down the date for the program right now, so I'm not going to say too much else until we get that nailed down. With regard to Cogswell Macy, Ray mentioned the third piece of that, which would provide intervener services to children who are deafblind. These people are people that work, they have special training to do this, they work one-on-one with these kids, they know the kids, they provide environmental access and also access to social situations, and that in the educational setting, this is probably Cogswell Macy this time around is probably our best chance to get this as a related service at the national level. So hopefully we can get it done. I was privileged to be part of a team last summer that put together comments for making the equipment distribution program permanent. We submitted those comments, and to date the final rules have not come out, but we heard at the legislative seminar that if those rules are not out by the end of June, they will just extend the program for another year. So it does look like that's safe. So that's in a nutshell what the SASE committee does and what we've been doing the last couple of years and how ACB has been involved with issues related to people who are deafblind. I'm going to turn it back to Ray.
Thank you. Okay, so I just want to close by saying that it's been my pleasure to having to serve with some great Hawaiian folks here. You know, it's great being in the Illinois delegation because we're like right behind Hawaii, and so we can, you know, jaw back and forth a little bit and all of that. Of course, you heard earlier in the resolution that I got to serve with my good friend Don Thompson for several years on the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and with his help, was honored to serve that for several years as chair of that committee. Served on the Resolutions Committee, which, that's all, those are late nights, guys. Those are really late. I had to cut my partying off during those years. A little bit, anyway. And just want to close and take a few questions, certainly, but I just want to close by encouraging each and every one of you, Hawaii Association, please keep up your commitment to ACB. It is second to none. You guys do a great job. I love coming to conventions because I say this at every convention, but I absolutely mean it. The greatest thrill for me in being invited to ACB state affiliate conventions is that you see so many folks that for whatever reasons cannot attend the convention. And I count many folks among my friends here in Hawaii, Philo, Don, my good buddy K.O. up there, who I communicate on Twitter with all the time, and Warren, and others. If I start naming too many people, I'm going to forget somebody, so I don't like to do that. But anyway, thank mahalo to you guys for having me here, and I'll be glad to take a few questions. Does anybody have any questions? Leah, I can do it too. Well, again, thank you. Yes, Warren. Give Warren a mic, please.
I must have missed this some time ago, but what if it happened to Professor Millen?
Millen Brunson?
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to what? I'm sorry, Warren.
Ron Millen.
Ron Millen. He's still around. Ron is still around. He has, I will tell you that he has had to, he has... This is probably a good thing for him. He has become very successful in his some consulting work that he's doing, getting paid for. He's had to drop back a little bit on his work in ACB through the Public Relations Committee and through MMS. And so that's, but Ron's still around, and you know, he's contributes. I see him quite a bit out on the leadership list and various things like that. So, yeah, Ron's still around and just not quite as active in ACB circles as he was, but that's for good reason for him because he's getting paid doing some of his marketing consulting work.
He retired to build a new house.
He retired to build a new house. Donna's right about that, yes. Any other questions? Well, aloha, and thank you for having me, and you'll hear from me again more tonight.